This is a Rhyme or Reason production.
And we're on. So, it's been a minute. And, you know, that's my bad. But I say that every episode, you know, but this is the thing, is it's my podcast and I can do the episodes how I want when I want. But my original intention after the Cyborg Orin episode, which, you know, got some good feedback. No cyborg feedback, I might add. But I wanted to record some stuff, but I knew I was going on a dove hunting trip the first weekend of September, like I always do. So my thought process was, you know, take, you know, a couple days off work and go dove hunting, come back and talk about the wonder that is dove hunting in Texas and what that is. And I still want to cover that. I really do. But as people who've listened to the show, we know I'm married. I have three kids now, and my wife was pregnant with our fourth, a baby boy. And so this is how this goes. So the reason we don't have a dove hunting episode is because I left Saturday morning from Houston, drove the 4.5 hours to my favorite little dove hunting spot that me and my dad go to every year. So it's like a trip that we have to go to. I didn't think it was going to be a problem because our due date for our baby boy is October 3rd. So I was like, you know what, we got a month. But, you know, my wife always goes a little bit early, about 2 weeks early. So I was like, you know what, I still got 2 weeks, so we'll be good to go. So I'm like, hey, I'm going to leave on Saturday. I'm going to go hunting. And she's like, yeah, for sure. But I don't want to be here by myself. So I'm going to go to my dad's house in Brenham because he just bought all this property and stuff. And I was like, well, you know, that's good. His wife will be there. She's a labor and delivery nurse. And so I was like, you know, if anything happens, she'll be able to help you out. But, you know, it's not going to happen. It's going to be fine. So we dove hunt the weekend. And, you know, it's a good time. We shot a lot of birds and used our dove cord, dove hangers. I'll put photos up on the Facebook. They're awesome. But so it was a good trip. But on the last day we're hunting, and the dove limit in Texas is 15 birds per hunt, and you can have up to 3 days limit. So you can have 15 birds a day, 45 total. So I wanted to make sure I got my limit. And I remember telling my dad, for whatever reason, I was like, dude, look, if I'm not done by 6 o'clock p.m. I'm fucking done. Like, if I don't have 15 birds by 6, I'm over it. So it gives me about 2.5-3 hours to shoot these 15 birds. So start doing this shit. It's getting a little hectic, and we end up nailing them. Well, on another episode, I'll go more into that. But so we go to my favorite Mexican restaurant in the town that we're in, and we're just eating. And we're having a couple beers, bullshitting around, you know, laughing and joking. I get a call from my father-in-law. It's like, hey, don't need to worry, but your wife is going to the hospital here in Brenham, and she may be going into labor. So you probably need to pick up and drive. So keep in mind, so I'm 4.5 hours away from Houston, so I'm about 3 hours away from Brenham. And this is at 7:45 p.m. on Sunday the 6th. So me and my dad would pick up, go to the hotel, shower, pack, and I hit the road. So we've been up since 7 a.m. hanging out, bullshitting around. And it's now 8:45 at night, and we haul ass to Brenham. And I'm like, you know what? Yeah, I'm hauling ass because I want to be there for her. But I'm like, you know, this is going to be a slow process. We'll get there when we get there, and the baby will be fine. So I get there probably about 11:30, midnight, and stay up trying to sleep on these ridiculous fold-out beds and cots and shit. obviously the most comfortable things in the area are for the pregnant ladies, as they should be. And long story short, at 1:11 p.m. Monday, September 7th, we are blessed with little baby Remington Russell Wild. And it was awesome, you know, but we kept joking about how he was just like, he was very vocal and making a lot of noise and everything was fine. And I hadn't slept in God knows how damn long. So at about 4:30, 5 o'clock in the afternoon, you know, I'm like, hey, I'm going to go to your dad's house. I'm going to drive over there, get our car seats and stuff situated, and I'm going to take a shower and I'll come back and see you. So go over there and shower. And as I'm getting out of the shower, I get the phone call and they're like, hey, something's wrong with the baby. And they're going to transport him to another hospital. And that's kind of all the information I get. So I panic and I go down to the hospital. And it turns out they're like, hey, we're bringing in a helicopter. We're going to fly your baby to Texas Women's Hospital in Houston, if y'all know where that is. I'm like, dude, we're from the Houston area. Yeah, 100%. I know where that is, but it's an hour and a half away. They're like, yeah, but it's a 25-minute helicopter flight. And so I have to leave my wife, who's just a wreck after seeing our newborn, in essentially like an E.T. box, as I would call it. You know, if you've ever seen E.T. and they have them all hooked up to all the tubes and shit, and the FBI agents are like, he's an alien, fuck off. So that was rough on everybody, and we're signing all these papers and shit. So keep in mind, I haven't slept yet. So 7 o'clock a.m. Sunday, I'm awake. I've slept maybe 30 minutes or so, half-assed throughout the day, waiting for Sammy, my wife, to give birth. And at this point, it's like 7:30, 7:45 p.m. Monday. And they're loading him up into a helicopter. And I tell my wife, I'm like, look, stay here. You know, make sure everything's good. Get discharged in the afternoon tomorrow. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to go with Remy. So I leave with the intent to just beat this helicopter to Houston. So I shag ass from Brenham to Houston and get there, walk in, do my thing, and the helicopter beat me by 20 minutes. So, you know, I made it the best I could, but we end up in the NICU, NICU 3 at Women's Hospital of Texas. And if you've never had a kid, it's already kind of strange having a new baby, and you're already kind of confused about it. Now, I've been around for my stepdaughter. When I met her, she was like 2, so we were kind of out of the woodwork. My daughter was she's about 2.5 weeks early, so nothing big. She was still small. Her and Remy were the same size, 18.5 inches and 5 pounds, 22 ounces, itty bitty babies. But we had not done this before, let alone during a pandemic. So having to go to the ER, have to do my like bullshit COVID screening, wearing a mask, trying to meander my way through this hospital to find somebody to tell me what's going on, that took some time. So I finally get to my son at 9:30 p.m. that night, Monday, and I meet the doctors and stuff, and they're like, hey, look, we're looking at a NRDS, which is a neonatal respiratory distress syndrome, meaning that his lungs are underdeveloped, he can't really breathe on his own, and he has not really been able to breathe on his own since he was born. He's been in distress since then. So we get this prognosis, diagnosis, if you will, and it's just like, we don't know when he's going to go home. We have to get him healthy, and that's that. And I was like, you know what, well, I'm going to stay here until my wife can get here. So knowing that she's stuck in the hospital in Brenham. And so I was there I stayed up all night with him, and it's hard enough seeing someone you care about hooked up to tubes and IVs and in a medical setting when they're adults or when they're older kids, when they're babies and they're brand new, hours old. It's just, it's really rough to see, you know? So for the first day I'm there and I'm touching his chest and rubbing his head and let him know, like, hey, you know, this, there's a good world out here kind of thing, best I can. At the same time, you're just worried. You don't know what's going to happen. And I'm trying to talk to his mom. She's far away. And even if she was here because of COVID, we can't be here at the same time. We can alternate, but blah, 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 blah. We'll get into that later. But so I get there at 9:30. I've been up since 7 a.m. Sunday morning. It's now 9:45 or whatever, Monday p.m. And I just decide to stay at the hospital. I'm just going to sit there. I'm going to stay. We're going to see what's going on. I get to know the nurses that are there and all the other babies that are near him and stuff. And at 4:30 in the morning, or I guess 4 in the morning, they're like, hey, we're going to do another blood gas at 4:30. We'll get the results back by 6. And I'm like, you know what? That's cool. I'm exhausted. So I'm going to drive home and I'll be back up here at 6 to get the results. Long story short, man, I don't remember that drive home. I woke up in our car, in our driveway, and was just like, the fuck? And at that point, it was like 5:40 in the morning. So I left the hospital about 4:15, 4:30. It's about a 25, 30-minute drive. So I can safely assume I made it home fine and then fell asleep as soon as I got there. So I get out of the car, shower, shag ass back to the hospital. I think my wife ended up getting there early afternoon, 2:30, 3 o'clock. I was up for the better part of 50-something, 60 hours or something before I finally took a nap, you know, and we started doing our little transitional issues. Because of COVID, in the NICU, both parents can't be there at the time, so you have to alternate. So what we would end up doing is my wife would stay there for however many hours, and then I would come in and alternate. And we did that for days, 5 to 7 hours at a time, just being with our boy. Luckily for us, after 7 days, we were bumped from NICU 3 to NICU 2. Now, that's not to say that we didn't have hairy issues there, because after the first or second night that Remy was in NICU 3, they had him on a CPAP. So that's a lot of pressurized air. It's essentially breathing for him. And we ended up popping a hole in his lung, which resulted in fluid on the lungs. So we had to go to a nasal cannula, which is still pressurized air, but it's not as much. So the air is there when they need it, but it's not being blown into their nose. They are just able to draw from it when they could. But because of that, his sternum and stuff would retract real deep. And he was jaundiced. There were just all these issues. But after that six, seven day mark, we got bumped from NICU 3 to NICU 2. And that's a great thing, you know, because it's like, hey, he still needs help, but not all of it. So after those 7 days, he's breathing on his own. But he's still not eating right. So he's still being tube fed and stuff. So he was in there for 9 days. So we got him back the Thursday. I don't know how you'd say it. A week after he was born. And it was amazing. So I went back to work the Monday. He was in the NICU. And I worked Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday with him in the NICU. And went there every evening after work. And I took Thursday, Friday off. And I went back to work this following Saturday. I just wanted to make sure he got home fine. And everything was great. I'm not here like asking for sympathy or anything. Because, I mean, trust me, I was a dude that didn't have kids before. And trust me, like, it's interesting. And you're like, oh, you're compassionate. But you really don't give a shit. It's someone else's kid. But you know, that's why I didn't get to do the episodes that I wanted to. I got wrapped up in the world and in life. And to be honest, it's not even a question to me whether or not that was the right thing to do. I am doing this, though, because it's good to talk about, because there were instances during that time where if you're a dad, you know, you want to be a fucking superhero. And that Monday afternoon when I finally got to come home and try to take a nap and stuff, I was sitting there talking to my dad, and I'm like, you know, I want to be my kid's superhero, but I can't help him now. Like, I want to, but there's nothing I can do. There's not a damn thing I can do. I can't make him breathe on his own. I can't make him eat like he's supposed to. I can't do anything about it. And I would just sit there and just think about it all in my head. And I, there's a lot of support for moms and a lot of support for women and families that are going through that and kids and stuff. But there was just not much for me to look at. I mean, even when me and my wife both were going through this at the hospital, my wife is upset, but I have to be strong. I'm having to help her. And so I'm trying my damnedest, but everyone's focusing on her, but I'm over here, I'm drowning, you know? And again, it's not me being selfish or anything. It's just that's human nature. I mean, everybody is going to have their faults. And it was scary. I love the idea of being a strong figure in my kid's life and doing the best that I could. So I didn't want to leave. I didn't want to be that dad. So when Remy gets old enough, he'd be like, oh, well, when I was in the NICU, where were you? He'd be like, oh, I was working, bud. I the best I could do, since I can't help him breathe, I can't help him eat, all I can do is touch him occasionally, and they bump that off, the best thing I could do is when he gets older is say, you know what, I was there, and I was there every day as much as I could be. And I had to be okay with that. I also had to understand that I was running on pure adrenaline. I didn't want to sleep because I wanted to be ready if anything was to happen, and it just wasn't happening. You know, I would try to have conversations with people, but after being up over that 50-hour mark, I couldn't. I could comprehend what was going on, and I was aware of stuff, but communicating my thoughts was becoming very muddled, and so it wasn't conducive. I had to sleep. When I finally got to sleep, I slept 14 hours. But through that, I found a group on Facebook that was specifically for dads with babies that were in the NICU. And like, all I can say is that I'm just fortunate and lucky that it was only 9 days that Remy was in the NICU. I talked to dads who were getting their kids out of the NICU for the first time after 345 days. You're talking about a baby that's 11 months old, 10 and a half months old, that's going home for the first time. When Remy was in the hospital, there were babies around him that were born at 20 weeks that had been alive for 22 days that weighed less than 2 pounds. Or the babies that had been in there for 3 months, still not breathing on their own, still having problems feeding. And you know, their parents are coming in and out too. And everyone's so supportive. Like, you just sit there and talk about like how beautiful their kids are and how everything that you're hearing about them is great. And that's all you can do, because what are you supposed to say? Like, it's the weirdest thing where in the medical field, like that's like the only time that you don't want to like clout. Like, you don't want to just be like, oh, I heard your baby's been in here 6 months. Well, mine's been here 9 days and we're about to go the fuck home. It's just one of those things. But, you know, it could have been so much worse for us. But he's fucking home now. and he's 19 inches long now, and he's over 5 pounds. When he went into NICU, he was born at 5 pounds, 22 ounces. When he went to NICU, he was 4 pounds, 15 ounces. We get him home now, we're at 5 pounds, 5 ounces. So we're gaining weight. He's getting bigger. He's not jaundiced anymore. There's all these great things. But it made me think about all like the stuff that I hadn't thought about. Like, you know how like you go to the gas station, they have like March of Dimes out there, and they're like, you know, you put your fucking money in here, it helps people. And I'm always real bad about like, dude, come on, man. I donate the other shit. Fuck this. And another organization called the Superheroes Project, you know, and I had read up on that, and I was like, nah. But what the March of Dimes does is help these families that can't afford what's going on with their kid in these NICUs. Let alone, I mean, granted, the March of Dimes helps where they can get you free hotel rooms in the area so you can stay close to where your baby is during that whole time. And for me, obviously, we didn't know. We were 25 minutes from the hospital when we actually got to Houston. But for people like I was talking about who have had kids in this shit for 11 months, like, what are you supposed to do? That trip's ridiculous. The hospital sets you up through March of Dimes. They set you up with, like, your free parking passes and this, that, and the other. And it's just one of those things that now I'm like, you know what? I should probably look into these organizations, especially because I was a preemie and I was born a month and a half early, and I spent a couple weeks in NICU under UV light and under respiratory help. And my brother-in-law or Scott from the Partial Artist podcast, our fellows over at Rhyme or Reason Productions, Scott spent months in NICU. Scott was born at 25 weeks, man. Weighed like a pound and a half or something when he was fucking born. He's like a squirrel. Like, so much has to happen for that to all go right. One thing you have to understand is that in some instances, and I want to reiterate that with some instances, because it's not necessarily what I'm going through or whatever, just the NICU stays can be anywhere between $3,000 and $9,000 a day to have that baby in the NICU. So if we round up to 10, and you're talking about 345 days in there for somebody, what are you supposed to do with a medical bill that's damn near half a mil? Like, how are you supposed to ever pay that back? Now, granted, I'm not saying that people get into this whole argument about like, oh, well, you know, the government, if we had this kind of this and this. Well, look, man, this doesn't work for everybody, but there are things that help this. There are things that do this. Bottom line is, when it comes to medical bills, at least in Texas, man, fuck them, you know, pay the minimum. Because they can't report you as long as you're making an effort. And you know what? You'll probably never fucking pay them off anyway. Write them a check for $25 a month. Tell them to eat your ass. But it's just the fact that you get them. Remy had to ride in a helicopter. Still haven't quite gotten that bill yet. But I've heard that it's going to be between somewhere between $12,000 and $30,000. I have insurance. But look, the thing is, I'm able to joke about it because I don't care, because my boy's home. And I got off topic, but that's where the Eclecticide podcast went this time. And the craziest thing is, I like literally have an email here. I'll read you this email chain so you kind of know what's going on. So you remember our second interview was with Matt Harvey of Exhumed, right? So, on what day is it? September 4th, I emailed Matt from Exhumed and was like, hey, the entertainment industry is failing now, and everyone sees what is happening, but the metal scene and that small metal scene, what does that look like on a large scale? What about horrorcore, deathcore, grind, thrash? We touched on Exhumed and him being around for so long, so on and so forth. So he's like, hey, I'd be happy to talk about this kind of stuff. If we want to do this next week, it'll have to be before Thursday, as my wife and I are leaving for a road trip. So that was on the 5th. So I messaged him on the 6th. My wife just went into labor this evening, so let's tag up when you get back from your road trip. I laugh out loud, sorry. So he comes back on September 11th. Congratulations. So we were going to have a much different episode. And I have that, and I had another show set up. And I feel guilty about it. But it's something that I needed to talk about, and I don't want to harp on it. I let it stew for a couple weeks so it wouldn't be really, really ridiculous. If I would have done this before, this would have been a three-hour episode and very, very strange. But I just want to wrap it up with, you know, it's great to have an outlet, and it's great to have a show where, let's be honest, my audience is so small that these kind of things, it doesn't matter if I decide to talk about it or not. I needed to talk about it, and it's great. But I can also use this to talk about March of Dimes, the superhero project. I can talk about the Facebook groups that I did find, and hopefully someone can listen to this and say, you know what, okay, that helps me. Because it's not that I'm being insensitive or I'm being rude or anything. Trust me, I've never grown a baby inside me. I don't know what that connection is like when that baby is born. But I've had two of them, and I can tell you that when they do come out, what they say is true. They say a woman becomes a mother when the baby starts growing in her, right? So that's an immediate thing. A man doesn't become a father until he sees that baby for the first time. And it kicks you right in the nuts. And then that baby just grabs you by the heart and it has you forever. So to go through a time where you're supposed to be the strong one and the strong-willed one, but everything around you is falling apart, there was not a lot for men in my situation that was readily available. And I wish that I could do more for that, and I'm going to do what I can for that, because there are tons of organizations, and there's social workers at that hospital that are trained to deal with women in this position. There are people who are trained to deal with the kids, but no one's really helping with the dads, and it's realistically a new thing. I can't remember the statistics, so I'm not going to throw numbers at you, and I'm not even going to throw paperwork at you. I am going to throw out the fact that I did read somewhere that this generation of men is substantially more involved with their children's lives than generations before. So with that, more things need to be done and need to be said about these support groups for new dads. Whether it is just you're a first-time dad, or there are health problems, or your kid is born with special needs. Like, there are times that you need to talk about that, and there's times that you're angry, and there's times that you're sad, and there's times that you just want to crawl under a rock, and you don't want anyone to ask you any more questions. But in a convenience thing, that's when they want to do that. When you can't answer another question, when you can't take another text message or another phone call, that's when the doctor calls and wants to have a conversation. Or your wife calls and says, the doctor has this to say. But you can't. You can, but at least for me, it's hard for me to show that aspect. So when I get those phone calls, I can't be pissed, and I can't be upset, and I can't be those things. these are things that have to change. I'm looking at a book on my my bookshelf right in front of me. It's just like The Caveman's Guide to Pregnancy. It's The Caveman's Pregnancy Companion. And I remember when I bought that book, people thought that was stupid. And I was like, look, man, if you can add humor to something and give a perspective to someone who doesn't know what the fuck's going on, definitely do it. I'm a big advocate for self-help books. I'm a big advocate of reading and studying. And I just wish that we could see more. I don't want to say equality. It's such a touchy fucking thing right now. I just wish that we could see more compassion for men and fathers and families all around for what the hell's going on. And none of this is a handout. None of this is me begging for jack shit. Like, we'll handle what we can handle. The main thing is that my kid's home and my whole family's home. I got all four kids under my roof. Got my wife here. I got my dog. And everything is hunky fucking dory. And I'm still able to sit here in my office and record a podcast. This might be the, I don't know, I don't want to say the last podcast in this office, but it's getting up there because I've started building another office so my wife can have this one for her own stuff. And that's the other thing too, man. I've been trying to keep myself busy. I went back to work. I've started playing my guitars a lot more. And, you know, I'm just going to hop on the podcast wagon and start pumping out some new episodes too. But I didn't really know where I'm going with this. I think I just needed to vent, and either you love it or you hate it, and that's fine either fucking way. The bottom line is I have a microphone and I have a podcast on a platform, several platforms that some people listen to. Still, for whatever reason, 11% of our listeners are from France. Maybe they can talk to me about like what their system is over there for NICU babies and things like that. But the bottom line is, look, man, everything's great and the episodes are going to start rolling. I mentioned on an Instagram video, like, we're getting cameras. We're going to start doing like YouTube videos for all the episodes. And yeah, that's it. Partial Artist is still pushing episodes out. Partial Artist, just check them out. But, dude, I missed you guys, and I missed this microphone in my face, and I needed it. But everything's great. The new studio / office is coming along great. It just couldn't be better. So I wanted to give you an update. I wanted to give you some content. And hope that everyone's having a really, really, really good time. And I hope that everyone's excited about the video aspect that's going to come to our episodes. When we get that platform running, then we can start doing rig rundowns. We can do all sorts of stupid shit. It'll be great. All I ask of you right now is that if you know someone around you that's hurting, if you know new parents, if you know any parents that are in NICU, if you know any of these things that are going on, just put your arms around somebody, either physically or spiritually, for lack of a better word. Put out good vibes, pray, do whatever it is, man. You never know what people are going through, and you never really know how much a warm heart and a good word really matters. I want to thank everybody who did reach out to me and wanted to know about how everybody was doing. I want to thank the people who brought us food. I want to thank the people who are continuing to offer to cook for us while we adjust to having everybody home. I love our group. I love everyone around us. I love every single one of you guys. So stay tuned. Stay up to date. You can find all our stuff. anchor.fm/eclecticide. rhymeorreasonproductions.com. All the episodes are on there. Backlogs, new episodes, all the new episodes are going to be on there. Merchandise, if you so choose. Patreon is still up. Patreon.com/eclecticide. Facebook, Instagram. It's all Eclecticide, homie. Thank you so very much. for just being a part of my world. If y'all ever find yourself in a similar situation or just need a good guiding light, eclecticsidepod@gmail.com, man. That is an open email to you. Have a great night or day whenever you're listening to this. And I cannot wait to give you guys some great content coming up very soon. Love you guys.
This has been a Rhyme or Reason production.